Bible to Psalm 115 this morning. Psalm 115. Psalm 115. Look with me down at verse 12. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. And particularly notice those first statements. The Lord has been mindful of us. The Lord will bless us. In 1 Peter 5 and 7, familiar, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Talk about, for a few minutes, God cares for you. Sometime with all the problems we have, and all that's going on in the world, we might get to wondering, does God really care about me? I want to talk about it for a while. May we pray. Loving God, thank you for this time in which we can assemble ourselves together as the people of God, the children of God, the ones you've called aside out of the world to be your people. We've come here today and we've heard you say, you care for us, and you will bless us. And we thank you for your love and your care. We praise you because there's no God like our God, because our God is God, the true God, the living, eternal God. And our God is a God that cares for us. Lord, we're blessed amongst all the peoples of the world. We are blessed, and we give you the praise and the adoration on this beautiful Lord's Day. Bless those unable to be in church today. You know the many needs listed in our bulletin. We pray for them. We lift them up to the throne of grace in the precious name of Jesus Christ, asking for your merciful blessings. And help us as we stand today and make us an encouragement to your people by your own word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Does these scriptures say anything to you this morning? That God is mindful of us? That He will bless us? Does that mean anything to you today? God says that He's concerned for me and for you. Think about that. He's concerned for us. He sees where we're at today. He knows what's going on around us today. Are we as concerned for ourselves as God is for us? Are we concerned about ourselves, how we're living? As Christian men and women, God's concern is not just for our physical needs. Sometimes we seem to think that all that matters is my physical need. What's going on in my life? But God's concerned about my spiritual need also. In fact, that's more important in the sight of God, our spiritual need. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 31, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat?" I was trying to eat this morning. I said, they said, "What you want for breakfast?" So I said, "Make me an egg sandwich. So she made it, brought it to me. My little cat come up there and looked up there at me like this. So I started to give it just a little piece. Ate all my egg. Little cat. I wound up with the bread. The Bible says, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what withal shall we be clothed? After all these things the Gentiles seek, the world seeks after those things." I think about this every time on Wednesday night when we come to church and we go home. And I see the steakhouse is full of people, all the hamburger joints is full of people. And people's attitude is, "I got to eat, I ain't got time to go to church." That's what they're essentially saying to God. "I got to take care of myself. I'm hungry." What about your soul? What about your soul? To God, that's more important than your belly. People just don't think rationally, do they? But God's concern is for our soul. And he's going to take care of our needs. "No, the cat ate my food, but I'm not hungry." Amen? We're so short-sighted to think our physical needs are much more important than our spiritual needs. Our physical lives are destined for this world for only a short period of time. We're just going to be here a short period of time. But our soul is going to live on forever. Think about that, folks. You're just going to be here a little while. I read some this week where some died in their 20s. Some people don't even make it to 20. The person who lived the longest in the world was Methuselah, that we have a record of. He lived 969 years. That's over 900 years more than I've lived. No, almost 900 years more than I've lived. 969 years. That's a long time to live. But you know what happened? He died after 969 years. You know, he's been dead over 5,000 years. He lived 969, but he's been dead 5,000. He's dead. He's in eternity now. And my understanding is he was the last one to die before the flood would come, the last righteous person. So he's been dead 5,000 years, and he's with the Lord in that day. Here's my point. No matter how long you live, you're going to die. Then where are you going? Because where you go then, you're going to be forever. I just want you to think about that. Now, there's a man named Cain. He lived 6,000 years ago. Cain, the first child born. The first child. He lived 6,000 years ago, and he died. He's been dead 6,000 years. Where's he at? Well, according to the Bible, he would be in torments. Luke 16 would tell us about that. Because the Bible says he was of the wicked one. So he's been in torments 6,000 years, wanting one drop of water. These two men, they lived, but they both died. and their decisions determine where they went. It's something to think about, folks. What was the difference between these two men, Methuselah and Cain? One of them trusted God. One of them trusted God. Maybe you'll write these scriptures down. You don't have time to look them up, but maybe you want to write these, because I got several scriptures here. I want you to, maybe after lunch today, you'll get your Bible down and or your notes down and read these scriptures, because they're precious scriptures. And there's so many more I could have gotten you, but these are just great. Psalms 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Think about that, folks. This is David talking. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. What a great scripture. Trust in the Lord. Psalm 37, 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit yourself to the Lord. Trust in also in Him. Trust also in Him. That word trust again. And He shall bring it to pass. Put our faith in the Lord for the needs of life. Psalm 37, 40. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. And He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in Him. Trusted in the Lord, what? It brought results. Yeah. It brought results. He delivered them, saved them from the wicked. Psalm 62, 8. Trust in Him at all times. Boy, that's a good one. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, a safe place. Trust the Lord. Put your confidence, your hope in the Lord, the psalmist says. It worked for him. It'll work for me and for you. It's important we learn to trust the Lord. It's so important. And especially these days and times in which we live today. We've been warned in these last days it's going to be perilous times. Folks, we need to trust someone that can watch out for us. Y'all know what happened last Sunday, don't you? About this time? Down in Texas? Them same kind of people are around here too. It's important we learn to trust the Lord. He's dependable. He's faithful. He's trustworthy. And He cares for us. That's what I want to get across to all of us today. How we are cared for by the Lord. We're not lost in this crowd of over 7 billion people. Do you ever think about, you reckon God knows where I'm at and what's going on with me and all these people? You ever think about that? I've thought about that in the past. I don't know anymore, but there was a time I thought about that a lot. Does the Lord know about me and all this crowd? Yes. Yes, you're just as open to Him as there weren't anyone else in the world but you. Isn't that amazing? I want to impress upon your hearts and minds today, God cares for you. He's not against us. He's for us. And He's telling me and you that He wants the best for us. And the best for us is to learn to trust Him, learn to depend upon Him, and we'll be blessed. So what is the best for our life? Trusting God. Trusting God. God said, first of all, accept my Son as your Savior. And then live by His Word. Live by His Word. God's Word is His rule book for us on how to live in a world of sorrow and trouble. I don't know whether we really appreciate how much this book should mean to us. You think about the people in this world that's never had one of these books. You know, the people of the Old Testament didn't have all this book. They just had the first five books. We're so blessed, folks. We got the whole counsel of God. And it all is aimed at telling us we can trust Him. And He cares for us. And we're His people. And He says He's mindful of us and He'll bless us. We need to get serious about studying God's Word. Coming to church on Sunday morning, the Sunday school hour, is designed to study God's Word. That's why we ought to be reading, studying it before we get here. I like to read mine, know what that teacher's going to say. Wednesday night, we open up the Scriptures and study them some more. There's nuggets of gold in the Scriptures that teach us how to live in a way to please God, who cares for us. And He made us because He wants us to care about Him. We're told to live a righteous life as God's people. James 5:16 states, confess your faults to one another. You got any faults? Or can you see mine? Amen. You see mine? But the Bible says confess your faults to one another. And pray for one another. Boy, that's important, isn't it? Pray for one another. I need prayer. You need prayer. Pray for one another. It's interesting that God tells us to pray for one another, isn't it? You know what that means? We're to care about other people. Other people hurt. Other people have needs. And God wants to see me concerned about my brothers and my sisters. It's important to God that I care for His other children. Amen? Hey, you're God's other children. Amen? And He cares about you. He wants me to care about you. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Look at all these people we got on our sick list. Do you pray for them every day? I hope you do. If you don't, start praying for them every day. And these people in this salvation box, be sure to pray for them every day. First Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Look at me. Look at me. Now look up. Look up. God's looking at you. God's looking at you. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. See, the Lord is looking at us all the time. He never glances away. His ears already open to hear us cry to him. Ain't he good, God? Ain't he a good God? He's never taking a break. He don't ever say, wait a minute, I'll get you in a minute. Brother Chavis, I call him sometimes. He say, preacher, hold on a minute, or I'll call you. He don't ever do me like that, Brother Chavis. Brother Chavis, shame on you, brother. I love him anyway. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's a busy man. That man don't ever stop. His stop don't ever stop. Listen, love one another. John 13 and 35. John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. We're supposed to love one another. That's what the Lord says in his word. John 15, 12, Jesus says again, this is my commandment. Woo! He didn't say, by this shall all men know you're my disciples if you love one another. Now he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. And here's the part that really gets us, as I have loved you. How in the world can I love you like he does? But that's the command. This is my commandment, the Lord says. Love one another. John 13, John 15, 17. These things I command you, again he says, that you love one another. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You know, this is interesting. We live in so much hate in our world today, in our country particularly. So much hate. It shows the lack of the love of God, folks. Somebody's not right with God, all this hate. You know who is stirring up all this hate? The devil. He's got people that don't want to hear this book. He's got people that don't want to come to the church. He's got people that want to live like they want to live. How sad it was. Was it last Sunday? A man and his wife, he kills her, then kills himself. Something's wrong somewhere, folks. There's a devil running around, deceiving people. He's a busy fellow. You know why he's so busy? He sees the times are getting short for him. And he stepped it up. He's trying to discourage the church crowd. He's trying to keep others from being part of the church crowd. He's a busy fella, folks. He's a wicked one. But God says for us to love one another. Keep loving one another. Pray for one another. And trust in God as we go along in life. If we live a righteous life and we love one another, then God can bless us and use us. Let's not just desire God's physical blessings, though. His greatest blessing is spiritual. God wants to use us. That don't mean God wants you to all be preachers or teachers. Some of you are gifted and you know how to communicate. Witness, counsel. You know how to treat people. Love people. Be kind to people. God wants to use us. We're supposed to be vessels of love. People ask for prayer all the time about their financial needs and all. I understand that. Not many people call for prayer, though, for spiritual needs. You ever hear tell of people call for prayer for my spiritual need? It's always some physical need. Nothing wrong with that, but we ought to keep it. Our priorities right. You know, none of us have reached the top rung of the spiritual ladder. Even Paul said he kept pressing on. Pressing on. We've got to keep trying to do better. Try to see where I can improve at. I get mad at myself sometimes. I get disgusted with myself sometimes. I'm supposed to be representing Christ. But I'm so imperfect. God cares about our financial needs, our health issues, our family problems, whatever. God cares about these things. But what I'm saying to you today is, trust God. Learn to trust God. Live like God wants you to live. Live righteous. Live loving other people. Live trusting the Lord. We're to grow in grace, the Bible says. And in the knowledge. How are you going to grow knowledge if you don't get in this book? How are you going to be getting knowledge if you don't be in Bible study? The Bible says grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not my job to try to make anybody do these things. It's my job to say, listen, if you'll trust the Lord, depend on the Lord, and obey the Lord, you'll find a big change in your life. Writing to the church at Ephesus, the Apostle Paul wrote, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Just think about what that verse says. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. When we disobey the Lord, when we don't trust the Lord, when we live for the things of this life rather than to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, we grieve the Holy Spirit. But we're sealed. Even though we grieve the Spirit when we're disobeying the Lord, we're sealed. Because we are the Lord's. That's our security. We're God's children forever. But let's be spiritual children and not worldly children. Amen? See my point? See the truth? Be spiritual children. Growing in grace. Determine, I'm going to start learning more about the Lord. I'm going to start trying to live like the Lord wants me to live. It's a daily challenge with me. It's with you too. It's for everybody. It's a challenge. Because this old flesh wasn't changed when you got saved. This old flesh is still the rotten flesh it always was. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He's talking to Christians, folks. Do we act like that? We can. And be kind to one another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Boy, what scriptures Paul wrote there to the church at Ephesus, to those believers. Ephesians 4, 30 through 32. You are so important. You are so important, church, as individuals. You're God's children. And He cares for you. I want you to think about this verse in Luke 12 and 7. But listen to this. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. I was sitting on the parking lot at Walmart's the other day. Faye was in the shop. Or in the Walmart shopping, went to get something. And while I was sitting there looking out the windshield, there was a little 10, 15 or more little sparrows just hopping around, flopping around there on the parking lot. I thought about that scripture. Those little old birds there, they're aggravating things. You put a bluebird nest up and a sparrow gets in it. You know what I'm saying? But Jesus said, the very hairs of your head are all numbered, and you're more valuable than many sparrows. You're important. You're somebody. That sparrow wasn't made in the image of God, but you were. Do you know how carefully the Lord watches over you? He knows how many hairs on your head. That's how much He watches over you. I want you to get over feeling you're all alone and God's not paying any attention to you. He does. You're never out of His sight, none of us. Never out of His care, none of us. We could just let that sink in. When the troubles come, when I don't know which way to turn sometime, remember, He still cares for me. He understands. Now, I don't understand sometimes why God don't intervene and change some things. That's His business. He knows what He's doing. He knows what we need. He might explain to us sometime in the future. I don't worry, will or not. But what He calls us to, no matter what our situation is, we're supposed to be trusting Him and living for Him. And that never changes, no matter what's going on. God knows everything about you. He even knows every heartache you got. Every heartache. God knows every concern or every need you have, and He cares for you. Some of you got some real problems. Some of you have some real problems. You can't even pray them away. That's what I'm talking about. Sometimes God just lets things be like they are. But He calls us still trust Him. He knows what He's doing. We don't know what all He's doing. He might let somebody be suffering to reach somebody somewhere. He's an all-wise God. And we can't understand all of His ways. But the Bible says His ways are past finding out. But we can trust Him because He's for us. He's not against us. And our problem should drive us to Him, not away from Him. This is why he wants us to live our lives as Christian men and women, so that sin will not hurt us and bring more sorrow into our lives. See, all the suffering and the pains of this world is rooted in because of sin. Sin causes a lot of problems. That's what makes problems. When we ignore God and God's warnings and we live careless concerning our soul, we're limiting God's blessings on us. If there's anything more important than God, there's something wrong, folks. God's supposed to be the most important one in our life. He should be our focus, our center. He made us for himself. He's jealous of us. He wants our love. I met a man the other day. He seemed to have no concern for his own soul or even his children's soul. He doesn't attend church, although he has sometime. But he seemed to think everything's okay, though he ain't going to church. Let me tell you something. If you don't put some money in the bank and keep putting some money in the bank, one day you're going to need some money and not have any. God's blessings come by obedience. God's blessings comes by being wise. God's blessings come by being faithful. And God cares for me and you and has given us an instruction book that tells us the meaning and the purpose of life. It's the only book that'll do that, the Word of God. And we are put here in this world for a short period of time to get ready to live forever somewhere. We're here at God's discrepancy to live here so long. And then we're going to live somewhere else forever. But this is preparation time to where we're going to spend forever. The man I just mentioned has no time for church, for his family, and he don't want any guns in his house. Not any. He hates guns. He's one of them kind. So, he said, he weren't going to let one of his children get killed with a gun. Well, that sounds pretty good, don't it? So if an evil man walks into his house with a gun, he ain't no way to protect his children. Sounds kind of stupid to me. But our country's full of people like that. Half their brain don't work. But he hates guns. I guess our police ought to throw theirs away. The Army ought to throw theirs out in the ocean, I reckon, their force, their bombs. Amen? That's the way he thinks. You know what that kind of thinking did? Look at all the Jews that was killed by Hitler. And men like him. Lenin. Stalin. Millions of people have been killed because they didn't have any guns. The governor of Virginia just stated the other day that he may have the National Guard to go cut the wires to the houses and all these kind of things to force people to turn over their weapons. What he don't know is he's fixed to get a civil war. Too many Americans have learned the lesson of no guns. Folks, we should trust God, live for God. With this kind of thinking that's going on in our country, I believe the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. But I'm telling you, God cares for us. I read the first book of Maccabees this week. It's a writing that was written during the 400 silent years about the Jewish people. And there was a man by the name of Judah and Jonathan and Simeon, his brother. They were brothers. And how courageously they fought during that time. Folks, during those 400 silent years when God was not speaking to the Jews, it's unbelievable the wars and the fightings that the Jews were going through with different peoples. It's just sickening. The fightings the Jewish people have endured. And you know why it is? Why it was like that? They didn't trust God. There was a small remnant that's always trusted God, but it's a nation of people. And the same is the problem today. The nation of the Jewish don't trust God. They believe in God, but they rejected their own Messiah, their own Savior, for the kind of a Savior they wanted. Folks, there ain't but one way to trust God. It's God's way. There's no shortcuts. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one cometh unto the Father except by me. And I believe that verse. I believe that verse. Then Jesus said, listen to Luke 22:56, and I'll close. Luke 22:36. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. Jesus is fixing to go to the cross. He's telling his disciples what to do now. That now that he's leaving them, here's what I want you to do. He that hath no sword, let him sell his garments and buy one. If you don't have a weapon, Jesus told his disciples, go sell your coat and get you a weapon, because I'm not going to be with you. And you're going to be facing danger. Jesus said, protect yourself. You better not try to break my house. You'll be living in a dangerous world, Jesus told his disciples. You may have to defend yourself against wild animals, beasts. Do not doubt, church. God loves you. God loves you. Even amidst the storms of life, never doubt the one who loves you so much. And you can go to him. You can cry to him. You can trust him because he loves you. And his ear is open to hear your cries when life is hard. We're living in a world under the curse of sin. Don't ever forget that. But God is in control and he cares for us. He allows things to affect our lives for some reason. I can't explain it. But we're to trust him no matter what. And for any who do not know the one that loves them, they can call on him. And he'll forgive them and save them. And they can love him and serve him. May the Lord speak to our hearts today. Never doubt his care. Never doubt his love. Never doubt that you're always his concern. Because he cares for you. Let's learn to care for one another and pray for one another, support one another. Because we are his representatives in a world that hates him and hates righteousness. Loving God, our Father, with thankful hearts, we've gathered here today with your word open before us to listen to Thus Saith the Lord. Speak to our hearts and challenge our hearts and help us to be the kind of witnesses we ought to be in a world that hates God and hates righteousness, Lord. Give us wisdom, Lord, and the grace of God, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior. And we give thanks always in Jesus' precious saving name. Amen and amen. And may God speak to hearts. And today, our altar is always open for you to come and talk to the Lord. Speak to Him from your heart. Pour out your heart to Him. Make your petitions to Him. We just read in His Word. His ear is open to hear the cry of His people.